The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Aaron Rodgers. Explains everything, but leaves open the biggest question in sports. Is he done in Green Bay? Plus, when the GOAT of the past faces the GOAT of the future, who has the edge in the present? We've got the answer. And what if I told you we are about to see the greatest matchup in Super Bowl history? Will anyone here try to change my mind? All that and more as we get up with you starting right now on a Wednesday from our studios at the Seaport. Greeny here, and we are ready to go, counting it down to the Super Bowl with so much football to talk about and just exactly the right people to do the talking. Dominique Foxworth is here. Dan Graziano's got the insight. Ryan Clark is ready to hit somebody as we get up with you, starting with the biggest story of the week, the biggest story of the year, the future of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Yesterday, during his weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee Show, Rodgers addressed all the speculation that he may want out of Green Bay after Sunday's devastating loss to the Buccaneers. Here is what he said.
I don't think that there's any reason why I wouldn't be back, but there's not many absolutes, as you guys know, in this business. To make an absolute statement about something is not an absolute. I didn't do it, you know, and I guess that's why I went kind of nuts. I think naturally there's times where you let your mind go to maybe, well, I'm going to be a Packer for life, or I'm going to be like a Tim Duncan or a Jeter or a Kobe and play with one team my entire career. I think naturally you dream about that. I mean, that's kind of like a dream scenario, and I've talked about that for much of my career. I think, you know, when they drafted Jordan, it was more just like the reality kicking in going, hey, that's actually never the case. There are no absolutes in this business. And I think it's a beautiful thing to sit with and to wrap your head around. And I did. And I got to a beautiful place about it. Doesn't mean that that's not still a reality. I think that's the only reality, is that there is no absolutes in this business. I just reiterated that after the game. And I get it. Some people are like, well, you just threw 48 touchdowns and probably going to win MVP. Yeah, I understand that. But again, there's no absolutes in this business. So I gave a real answer in the moment.
Boy, there is a lot to unpack. Look, RC, your face right now speaks for us all. What did you take away from that?
Man, my little niece, when she would try to tell me she was confused, she would be like, Uncle Ryan, I'm confusion. And that's what I am. I'm confusion right now. Just now, Aaron Rodgers was every Lawrence Fishburne character you could think of. He was Morpheus. He was Furious Styles talking to Trey. He gave us so much in our head that he confused himself. And then he went from that into Christina Aguilera. You are beautiful. And he continued to say everything was beautiful. You know what we haven't talked about, maybe since Monday morning of the game? We haven't talked about the fact that he's been to 5 NFC championships and he's lost 4. All we've talked about is the things that Aaron Rodgers has said. And Aaron Rodgers was setting this up, right, with the beautiful mystery before this situation, before losing the game, before being asked about his future. Aaron Rodgers had that on his heart. You know how it is. You know how they have those memes. It goes, yeah. It goes nobody, and then Aaron Rodgers, .. quotation marks. And he exactly. went on this large rant so he could kind of now tell you what I've been feeling all year. Yeah, when you drafted Jordan, I was pissed off. And so I became the good teammate. I became the good leader. I was the MVP, but I'm still upset. And right now, since we've gotten through the season, things aren't going well right now. I get to say that. It's like things going good for a lot of times, and I have to say good things. But guess what? We lost now. I can talk about how I feel. I can talk about not wanting to be there. I can talk about feelings of being replaced. But the bottom line is, he knows it. We knew it on Monday. We just had to talk about it because that's what this show is about. Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Green Bay Packer. Period.
Maybe I am giving him too much credit, but Aaron Rodgers is a very smart man. He's a Jeopardy champ. I hear it from everyone who talked to him. So this was not a mistake. This was not just emotional, because like you mentioned, Ryan, the week prior, he brought it up. No one was talking about it. He's like, hey, beautiful mystery. And then this week, he's like, who knows what the future is going to hold? He did it for a reason, and he knew knew that we were going to go all crazy because we went crazy last time he said it. But I think that he must be talking to either the fans or he's talking to the front office. More likely, he's talking to the front office and saying, you know what you're not going to do? You're not going to draft a quarterback and a running back with the first pick. I'm going to let you know that I have more power than you're saying I do or the way that you treat me. Because he's done that nice guy stuff, and they went and got his replacement and then got him a running back when they could have used an old lineman or a receiver that's over the weekend or another cornerback. And so this coming draft, it'll be really interesting to see what they do, because I think that's what the message is for. He's a smart, calculated person. He didn't put that out there just for no reason. He knew this was the last big stage he had, and he wanted to send a message to the whole organization that I'm not just going to sit around here and let you push me around and let you draft other people and kind of hold me on some year-to-year basis like I'm a nobody. He's the MVP, one of the greatest we've ever seen, and he's going to let y'all know that I will walk if y'all mess around one more time.
I think that's right. And look, I mean, the reason we keep showing you that video of Jordan Love being drafted is that's the last time anyone has seen him. So, I mean, we don't have anything else that we can show you. So, Dan Graziano, I mean, I'm sure you're talking to people around the league. This is, it's not just the media talking about this. What are people saying?
Yeah, look, we talked about this yesterday. The Packers have no incentive to move on from Aaron Rodgers this offseason. It would actually make their lives very difficult financially and against the shrinking salary cap. And if Aaron Rodgers wanted to make a stink and force his way out of there, then we're having a different conversation. But so far, that's not the case. What he's saying is basically what's going through his head since last April, which is, hey, I thought I'd be a Packer for life. Now I know I might not be. That's weird. It's got me a little unsettled. They go through this wonderful season where nothing goes wrong and it's not an issue. And then the season ends and all of a sudden he's confronting it again. I feel like a lot of the time that Aaron Rodgers talks publicly, the underlying premise that he's using is that he's smarter than everyone else. And I'm sure that's true in some cases, yeah, but I promise him it's not true in all cases. And I think if he's trying to send a message, it is, hey, guys, if I'm not here, it wasn't me, right? Yeah. The organization made a right choice. I want to be a Packer for life. And if it ends, it wasn't my idea.
But it's true. I mean, in that case, what he's saying is actually true. They've made the decision to move on from him. Now it's just a question of the timing. And what I have a tough time picturing, and we'll talk about this as we continue, is Aaron just sitting back and saying, whatever you guys decide on that will be fine with me. You want to keep me one more year? If I play great, if Jordan develops well, then you'll make the decision. I don't see that being the way he approaches this. So this feels to me like it is very much worth keeping an eye on, and we'll continue to talk about it. But right now it's time to start talking about the Super Bowl, because Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes is as good as it gets. This will be the fifth time they meet each other. The first meeting was in 2018. Patriots had a big lead. Chiefs came back to tie it. Steven Gostkowski kicked a field goal to win it at the end. Brady and Mahomes threw for 692 yards. They would meet again in the AFC Championship that year. You remember that game. An incredible fourth quarter, five touchdowns, huge penalty, Chiefs field goal to overtime, and then Brady with a touchdown to win it in the OT. In 2019, they played each other again. Mahomes, his first win over Brady, it was 23-16. Brady had a chance to tie it on a fourth and goal, but the ball got batted down. That sealed that game. And then early this season, they met. Mahomes threw for 462 yards, 269 of them going to Tyreek Hill. They had a big lead. Tampa came back. It wound up being 27-24 Kansas City. Meanwhile, did you hear what Jeff Saturday said yesterday here? Listen to this.
The dumbest thing people could say. The future GOAT? What does that even freaking mean? The future GOAT. You're either the GOAT or you're not the GOAT. Tom Brady is going to go play in his 10th Super Bowl, and to cast it away because you have a young kid who's playing lights out, it's just disrespectful. That has nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes, but you ain't the GOAT, bro. I can't stand it. You can say he's a great quarterback, best in the game right now. Don't talk about the GOAT nonsense until we get there.
That was Jeff yesterday. Dominique, what do you think?
I mean, he was fired up. Everybody knows how much I love Jeff Saturday, but he's dead wrong right there. Like, we got to fill these hours with something. What else are we going to talk about? I'm happy to compare Patrick Mahomes to any of his peers. You name me. You name him. Show me his opponent. He's not out there. We have to compare him to ghosts, because what he is doing right now is unbelievable. We've never seen it before. I'm not going to compare him to Deshaun Watson, as great as he is. Not going to compare him to Lamar Jackson. He's not in the same conversation as Josh Allen. The only person that I can think of that he's in the conversation with is Tom Brady, and he's much better than Tom Brady was at this point in his career. And when Tom Brady was 3 years in as a starter, there's no conversation. So I understand why you might be annoyed, and future GOAT is kind of a silly moniker. But what else are we going to call him? God? Because that's how he's playing when he goes out there on the field.
That's very well said. And look, normally – I get it when people say, hey, pump the brakes, you're overstating it. But Ryan Clark, in the case of Patrick Mahomes, I don't think we are. I think it is reasonable to look at him and say, this guy looks like he has a chance to be the greatest of all time. I don't think it's actually overstating the case in this guy.
Listen, 100%. And it's also not just because of our eyes, right? Usually at this stage of their career, we're using our eyes and being like, this dude could be one of the all-time greats. And that is true. When you watch him, he's one of the best we've ever seen. You put him up there with Aaron Rodgers, and then it's Patrick Mahomes from the way that he plays the position. But then you look at the team. The dude has had no maturation process. There hasn't been a wait and see kind of thing with Patrick Mahomes. The first time we saw him replacing Alex Smith in the last game, he balled. The next year, he won the MVP, got to the AFC Championship. Next year, got to the Super Bowl, won the MVP. This year, got to the Super Bowl again. Like, all we've seen this dude do is succeed. And to be honest, Jeff's just mad because now we could just overpass Peyton Manning because Peyton Manning's no longer in this conversation. Ooh. And those were the hands that he felt pressed against him his whole life. So I understand that. But yeah, when you look at Patrick Mahomes, you can honestly say, you know what? Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to win six. He doesn't have to go to 10. He doesn't have to play for two plus decades. Because we know, when we look at him, he's better than Tom Brady actually ever was. Even when Tom Brady threw 50 to Randy Moss, we didn't go, gosh, this is the best we've ever seen one look. But it was up there. He's the GOAT because of consistency and the constant excellence. If Patrick Mahomes wins four, wins five, with the type of dominance he's had early, he is going to be the GOAT, and many of us are going to say that. So it's right to have this conversation now because it's truly the only conversation to have.
I also can't figure out what's going to happen that's going to keep him from winning more than four or five. He hasn't even entered his prime yet. He, in theory, should continue to get better from here, both up, you know, here and even reaching his physical prime. Go ahead, Graziano.
Yeah, look, I think the key here is, look at the guys who won early, right? Like, I'm talking about Brady, Russell Wilson, Roethlisberger. These were all on teams that, you know, they weren't necessarily asking them to be the hero, to be the central figure, to carry them, right? And yes, I know that Kansas City has a strong roster, but to a far greater extent than was the case early in Brady's career, early in Russell Wilson's career, early in Roethlisberger's career, Mahomes is the guy. He's like, look, we're down 10 points in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. Patrick, what do you got? Like, that's him. That's who he is. So right. He's on a path, right? He's further along at this stage in his career toward a conversation about can you be the greatest of all time than Tom Brady was. Long way to go to catch him in terms of accomplishments, obviously, but he's doing something at a young age that I think even Tom wasn't doing.
Nick,
it's not even Patrick, what you got. It's Patrick, we know what you got. He has not come up short in any of these moments.
Right.
Every single big moment, he has not come up short. Every single time. We talk about Tom Brady's greatest game, probably that comeback win against the Falcons in the Super Bowl was incredible. Patrick Mahomes damn near did that three times in a row last year. Stop it, Jeffrey Robinette Saturday.
It's not his middle name.
There's no way in the world.
It is
now. You always want to give somebody middle name.
It's his name.
And if it is, that really would be remarkably coincidental. But what I will say is that maybe the most amazing thing about Brady is that they depended on him much more when he was 41 than they did when he was 23. Yeah. And that's the greatest thing in his, that's the greatest feather in his cap. We'll see if Mahomes gets anywhere near that. But as far as what he's done to this point, no one has ever even been close. All right, let's run through the hurry up here, Graziano. We got a bunch of news and notes to get to today. Let's start with more quarterback stuff. Matthew Stafford, what's the deal?
Yeah, Matthew Stafford, as Adam Schefter reported yesterday, teams are already calling the Lions to talk about what it would take to get Matthew Stafford after it came out over the weekend that the Lions are intent on moving him at his request. So this could be kind of the first domino in this great quarterback market we're talking about this offseason. If Matthew Stafford can find a new home, it sets everything going. Keep an eye on the Colts. Remember, they signed Phillip Rivers last year as a veteran. Stafford could be a similar kind of addition for them this year. The Seattle Seahawks last night found a new offensive coordinator. It is Shane Waldron, who was the Rams passing game coordinator. It's the fourth defection from Sean McVay's coaching staff this offseason. He will head to Seattle to try and rebuild an offense that stagnated under Russell Wilson in the second half of last year. And he is leaving behind quarterback Jared Goff, who, whatever he does, cannot seem to get any kind of unequivocal support from the leaders of his organization. We heard Sean McVay kind of hem and haw last week about Goff's the starter for right now. We heard GM Les Snead say similar stuff yesterday about Jared Goff. It seems like the Rams are dissatisfied in some way with what Goff has been delivering, and they don't seem to want to commit publicly to him. Whether that's trying to light a fire under him, whether they're indicating they want to move on from him, remains to be seen. But just another layer of intrigue in this quarterback offseason we've been discussing.
Look at those quotes. I mean, Cindy, leave those up there. That's what he said. The general manager said, Jared Goff is a Ram at this moment. And then he actually used the phrase beautiful mystery. He used Aaron Rodgers' words a week later. I mean, Dominique, who's he talking to?
What do you mean? You know he's talking to Aaron Rodgers. He may be talking to Aaron Rodgers, or he's talking to the players on his own team. He's making sure they all know that they see what you see. We all see the same thing. Jared Goff is good, but he's not good enough. And if we can get Aaron Rodgers to look over here, we're going to make whatever sounds we can make, say whatever words. They're going to probably be wearing that shirt that Aaron had on. The whole front office and coaching staff about to grow mustaches today and come out and stand there and just start chanting beautiful mystery to try to get Aaron Rodgers to come to L.A. So you know what that's all about, Mike.
It's incredible. Ryan Clark, what do you think?
Well, I think they just had enough with Jared Goff, and I think they understand it. And now they've gotten to a point to where they don't care. Obviously, they're done coddling him. They're done trying to push him along. It's like when T-Pain answered the phone on Kiss Kiss and old boy said, my old lady ain't doing the things she used to do no more. That's what Jared Goff is. He's not doing the things he did in his Super Bowl run. He's not doing the things he did when he was a Pro Bowler. And so they're tired of dealing with it. You don't have to have that relationship. You don't have to rub his head. Listen, he was healthy and could play in Seattle, obviously, because he played in Seattle. They chose the other dude. They chose the guy that was under 6 foot. They chose the guy that was playing in the AAF. They didn't want Jared. Jared probably doesn't play in Green Bay. They probably feel like he's a large reason why they lost, even though they couldn't stop people. So Les Snead, Sean McVay, all of those people say the reclamation project that was Jared Goff this first year to his second year, we did that. Now the reclamation project is over. We can't do anything more. We can't progress him further. And so now they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do with all this money we got on the books, all this money we owe him, because we can't get rid of him. But we want Jared to know that, Jared, we see you for who you are, and you better try to be something different.
Well, let's put some actual numbers to that. I mean, Dan, moving on from him this season is practically impossible.
Not practically. It's impossible. Like, they are totally stuck with this guy. $27.5 million fully guaranteed for this year. He's got another $25 million plus next year, of which $15.5 million is already fully guaranteed. Like, they cannot – if they cut him, it's $61 million dead money this year. That's a third of what the cap is going to be. So impossible, not practically. And I don't know who's trading for that contract and all that money. So at this point, yes, they are stuck. Now, look, could they bring in a cheaper option and compete with him? And if that guy ends up being – the guy, then maybe Jared Goff's a highly paid backup until they can get out of the contract. But look, what are they going to do? Use their first round pick on a quarterback? Oh, wait, they don't have one. So the Rams are in a situation where if they don't like Jared Goff anymore, I've got some bad news for them. He's not just a Ram right now. It's going to be really hard for him not to be a Ram this time next year.
RC, I got 30 seconds. Go.
Explain to me how right now we're talking about Jared Goff being poo the entire year, being the reason this team ain't good, Les Snead not wanting him, and the Seattle Seahawks find it fit to go get Shane Waldron, who was the pass game coordinator for the Rams. Explain that. I'm just confused.
I'll explain it. I can do it. It's easy to explain. Sean McVay. McVay could get an alien hired in this league. You just got to be near him. We can solve all the racial issues with coaches. Is we just got to give Sean McVay a whole black staff.
A black coach.
The whole league will be black after that because you just got to be near
his secondary coach is, and they ball. Aubrey Pleasant ain't getting no job.
Brandon Staley. Brandon Staley was a D3 coach 5 years ago. This man is a head NFL coach, and he deserves it. He's going to be great. But it's because he was within Sean McVay's proximity. Last thing I'll say, congratulations, Jared Goff. Way to get that money. He stuck them boys all the way up, and I'm proud of him. Get that
Put the
bag,
money in their
Jared.
Bag. Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line, I literally, now this time I mean it, I have 30 seconds. Is he just not good enough to win with? I mean, Dominic,
so you lied.
That quickly, is he not good enough to win with?
No, I mean, no. They didn't land on Jared Goff. Jared Goff landed on him. They did not draft him. They got there, and they were stuck with him, and they figured out a way to work with it.
They
That's
went to
happened.
A Super Bowl. RC, can't win with him? 10 seconds.
They can win one. They can win.
Yeah,
he can get
that's
eight.
Like, I mean,
they lost a Super Bowl by 10 points with him.
He's going to be their quarterback next year, and they know it. That's why I don't understand what they're saying. All right, let me take a break here. We have much more to do. We're going to go live to Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers said he can't think of a reason why he won't be back. I can think of a lot of them. We'll explain what they are as we continue in just a moment. Plus, you're not a prisoner of the moment. If you call Brady Mahomes the greatest quarterback duel in Super Bowl history, will anyone try to change my mind? We'll find out. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Geico. You could save even more by bundling home and car insurance. All right, so let's hit the Wayback Machine. It was on this day in 2002, Drew Bledsoe had his last great moment as a member of the New England Patriots. It came after that. Tom Brady got hurt in the AFC Championship game. That was the year Brady had taken over for Bledsoe. Off he went and on came Bledsoe, and he led the Patriots back to the Super Bowl, beating the Steelers. They would go on to the Super Bowl and win the first of the Brady era. That was this day in 2002. Meanwhile, coming up, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers both talking about the future. But are they saying different things? We're going live to Green Bay right after this. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and as we opened the show today, we played you sound from Aaron Rodgers yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show, talking about the reasons he has to believe that he will be back next season. Said he doesn't see any obvious reason that he won't, but that the future remains, in his words, a beautiful mystery You heard all of that. So let us go live to Green Bay, where Rob Domofsky covers the Packers for us and is as plugged in there as anyone I know. So, Rob, what is the latest on where things stand right now between the Packers and their legendary quarterback?
Yeah, Greeny, yesterday Aaron had his exit meeting with Matt LaFleur. That's the typical after-the-season meeting with the head coach that every player has. But Rodgers isn't just one of these guys that jets out of town the day after. He typically stays around for the entire week before getting out of the snow and heading to sunny Southern California. And he said before he leaves, he will meet with general manager Brian Gutekunst and team president Mark Murphy. Now, he did say, I'm not going to go in there and demand that I need this or that. But the question is, Greeny, will he hear what he needs to hear in order to make sure that in his mind that his future isn't a beautiful mystery? That remains to be seen.
But what is that? What is it he needs to hear that would remove the mystery from it?
Well, there's a couple things that could happen. He could just play and they could tell him you're going to have to play and that's it. You know, no guarantees of anything. He could then ask for a trade if he wanted to, or he could ask for more money. And to me, that's the most likely scenario here, is that they give him some assurance via the contract, not just words. We heard Mark Murphy earlier in the week say, we're not idiots, he's our quarterback. But they could give him real assurances by restructuring the contract to give him more guaranteed money, that he's not just living year to year. Even though he has a deal through 2023, there's no more guaranteed money left on that. So he could ask for the guarantees to show up and say, you know what, this is what I need to know that I am the guy.
So knowing him as you do, and you've covered him for a really long time and you've been around, can you foresee a circumstance where he leaves town this week giving them the impression, hey, whatever you want to do is fine with me, I'll come back next year and there'll be no issues here?
You know, it's hard to see it as just status quo, to be honest, Greeny, after the comments that he's made over the last couple of days. Again, I don't think he's going in there and saying, you must do this or you must do that. I think he would like them to give him both verbal and financial assurances. And if he doesn't get it, well, then let's see what happens in April or whenever the offseason program begins this year, if there is one, if Rodgers participates. He could make this difficult for them if he wants to, or they could make it easy and say, you know what, Aaron, you just came off an MVP season. You're our guy not only this year, but for the foreseeable future. Now, general manager Brian Gutekunst is expected to talk later in the week, and we'll see if he says that, if he goes that far, Greeny, and makes those assurances publicly.
Okay, we will definitely come back to you after he has done that. Outstanding work. Rob Domofsky, thank you very much. So let me go back to my crew here, and let's go back to this. Again, this is the part of this that I just cannot get through my head, Dominique. The one thing I can't picture Aaron Rodgers doing is saying, look, you guys, whatever you want to do is good with me. The timing is fine. You want to keep me another year. You want to not. I just don't see him doing that under any circumstances.
Yeah, he feels like he deserves to be treated better, and he does. And oddly, my experience at the Players Association is relevant right here, because all the quarterbacks always kind of, the great quarterbacks, the top-tier quarterbacks, they start to feel like they're a little bit different. And we had this in the union where the quarterbacks start to feel like they're not quite players, like they're a little bit higher. And then a moment comes for all of them where they realize you ain't special. They treat you just like they treat the rest of us when the time comes. It happened around the negotiations. It happened to Peyton Manning. We saw it happen to Tom Brady. Now we're seeing it happen to Aaron Rodgers. It's going to happen to everyone at a certain point. There comes a point when they realize, oh, you're just a player. You're just like the rest of them. Just because we let you come in the house and have lemonade a little more often than the rest of the players, when it comes down to it, when you no longer have the same value that we think you have, we're going to treat you just like we would treat a linebacker. And Aaron Rodgers right now has enough leverage after this season to say, no, you're not. And I'm proud of him, and I hope he does whatever it is he wants to do, whether it's leave or whether he makes the draft picks for them. He deserves to be able to do that, and I support him in that.
That's the part of this that makes sense. And I had Domofsky on the radio show yesterday, so we talked about this, Ryan. The part that makes sense is that he says, look, you need to guarantee me something here. I mean, let's put something in the contract that makes it clear. You're not just getting rid of me when you decide to. And he could get that this week. They could clearly do that if they want to, RC.
seems that that would be the compromise, that that's what it's about. It's about saying that I know you've made this decision to get Jordan Love, but what about me? What does that say for me? What have I earned? And that's why you don't leave right after your exit interview with Matt LaFleur, because he's not making that decision. Just talk to the GM, talk to the president, figure out what is their future for you. How do they see you? How do they value you? And more importantly, how are you going to show me? And that's where Aaron Rodgers is right now. That's the position he has put himself in, not only by his play, but with his words, with his actions. And so now Aaron Rodgers wants some type of assurance that he can be the guy. And the other thing is this, though. It's like, I'm going to get you before you get me. And not many people have that opportunity. Aaron Rodgers is saying, you know what? If you think you're going to control where I go, you are out of your mind. I'm going to make that decision and only me. And this is how.
That's exactly right. And so, Graziano, go through it again. I mean, Rob just said the money is not really a hindrance in a trade if they decided to do that now. What is that circumstance? How easy would it be to trade him right now?
Well, they would take a cap hit this year over $30 million, so it would be tough. But, you know, if you're ready to go with Jordan Love, he's not making any money, so that's kind of a wash. And then beyond this year, yeah, the money's not guaranteed. He's a $25 million a year player in 22 and 23, so that's appealing to any team. That's a great price for Aaron Rodgers, and it wouldn't cost the Packers anything to move on. But, I mean, I keep coming back to this. Like, you're Aaron Rodgers. Get the money guaranteed when you do the contract. Like, I don't understand why these guys don't push this. Like, he did the contract 2 years early, had 2 years left on his contract when he did this extension.
Because
if he had dug in and said, I'm only signing if you fully guarantee the whole thing, what were they going to do?
It's because the thing that I was telling you, quarterbacks, they get treated in a different way, and they're like, oh no, I can trust you. I'm just a step below the coach. I kind of own this team too. We're friends. We're colleagues. No, you're not. You're a football player, and they're going to find an opportunity to remind you of that. Yeah. So when he's negotiating that contract, it's pre-Jordan Love. He's like, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm the best quarterback y'all ever had. I won a Super Bowl. I'm the man. Then they go draft somebody over his head, and he's like, oh,
hey,
damn, they don't really love me like they say they
what
do.
What happened? I guess it wasn't really guaranteed after all. Maybe I should have got that in writing.
Go ahead, RJ.
Hey,
darn right.
No,
this Kirk Cousins.
Hey, this is exactly what happened when the hood turned on Lonzo in training day. He said, y'all going to do this to me? I'm putting cases on all you. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is doing. He putting cases on all of them right now. He said, y'all going to do this to me? I'm going to go out and ball. I'm going to get this MVP. And all you're going to be able to do is think about the fact that you drafted my replacement right before the best year of my career. And now I got to get the money. Now you got to show me. But Dom is absolutely right. I've been in the meetings with quarterbacks. I've talked to them. I've heard the way that they look at negotiations. They don't look at it like we do. They never see the end. They never see it running out. They see it as their friends. And then when that harsh reality hits them, it's not the beautiful mystery that Aaron Rodgers is trying to make it. It's difficult to deal with, and now he's dealing.
That reality hit Drew Brees real early when he hurt his shoulder. That's why he was aggressive in negotiations. It hit Peyton Manning. That's why he was willing to be that way. And now it just hit Aaron Rodgers, and you're right. He's going to have them playing basketball in Pelican Bay if they keep messing around with him.
The bottom line of it is, look, they thought he was done. They thought he was on his way to being done, and that's why they drafted his replacement. He showed them this year that was wrong. Now it's his turn to dictate the timing. Okay, so that's that story. Now to the Super Bowl. Yesterday on my radio show, I did my green list, my list of the top five Super Bowl quarterback matchups of all time, bearing in mind that every quarterback could only be named once. And at number five, I put Peyton Manning against Drew Brees in Super Bowl 44. You don't need me to tell you the numbers these two have put up. They're two of the most prolific players in the history of the sport. At number four, Super Bowl 32, Brett Favre and John Elway. Favre was coming off his third consecutive MVP season, but it was Elway who won his first Super Bowl championship. Number three, Roger Staubach and Terry Bradshaw. Because they met twice, Super Bowls 10 and 13, and they were both epic, both of them decided by 4 points. At number two, Joe Montana and Dan Marino. That was Marino at his absolute best. Montana won the game, and Marino would never get back. But at number one, and everyone on Twitter yelled at me, I have this year Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. This is the best quarterback matchup in Super Bowl history. It'll actually be the first ever Super Bowl between the last two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, but that's not even the point. This is, and Tony Romo said it on the telecast the other day, Ryan Clark, this is like if Michael Jordan got to play LeBron James in the finals right now. we actually get to see it. Their age is generally close enough. They're 18 years apart in age that we actually get to see the all-time great against the heir to his throne. To me, it's the best Super Bowl matchup ever. Do you want to change my mind?
I absolutely do not, Michael. This is a great list, and sometimes your list aren't necessarily great, but this one is right on the money. And what's even worse is, as you gave me the top five, I realized how awful all of those seemed compared to this one. I mean, even Montana and Marino, who at that time was probably the closest to this, right? Marino with the quick release, with the rocket arm, and then Joe Montana with all the skill, the mind, also the wins. It seemed that's probably the closest, and that's not even in the same stratosphere as this meeting. And it is like LeBron and Jordan. But the crazy part about it to me, it's flipped, right? The guys are flipped because Jordan came first, but Patrick Mahomes has that Jordan feel. I've been balling ever since I got in. I'm that guy. And then LeBron with the longevity seems like Brady. And we're to see that matchup. We could only simulate this on Madden if we wanted to see it, but we're getting it in real life. And for me, I'm just glad to be a part of it.
Dominique, would you want to change my mind?
Nah, I can't change your mind. I mean, I would argue that my man Terry Bradshaw, the original TB12, should be higher on the list, but maybe not number one. But I don't think anything is better than the matchup we have right now. That's as good as it gets. I mean, RC said all the reasons why, and I think it's going to be a great game. And it's not even like Tom Brady didn't play well last week, but it's not like he's all the way past his prime. He's had moments this year where he's reached his prime. It's as good as we've seen Brady play, especially attacking down the field. So we could get a tremendous game, especially with the injuries to the offensive line of the Chiefs, is going to make it a little tougher for them to score. So that game's going to be great. But put my man TB12 at number two, at least.
I love how you continue trying to make up with him ever since he got mad at you through me on the show a year ago. Graziano, any argument whatsoever here? Is this the best Super Bowl matchup of all time?
No, I can't change your mind on this. Look, Marino Montana, interesting comparison because Marino was kind of what Mahomes is, right? Like, we've never seen anybody throw the ball like this. Oh, he'll be back. He'll be in a million of these. And, of course, we know now that he wasn't. So he's kind of the ghost of Christmas past there for Patrick Mahomes. But even in that matchup, Montana was still relatively early, right? It wasn't Montana at the end of his career like we're seeing with Brady, having already done all that stuff. So a very unique matchup for sure.
Look, Mahomes has already now been in more Super Bowls than Marino ever was and has already won more Super Bowls than Marino ever did. Just take a picture of this game. It's as good as it could possibly be. Coming up.
I love you, Terry.
The competition the competition for quarterbacks this offseason may be more exciting than the regular season. We'll spin the carousel as we continue. Good morning, Mr. Bradshaw.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Okay, this is the time where I will ask a series of hard-hitting, provocative football questions to Dominique Foxworth, and he has to answer them. Although today, it's actually a quarterback themed. I'm going to name a quarterback, and you tell me, where would you like to see him playing next year? First, Matt Stafford.
Denver Broncos. I think the receivers that they have out there, from Judy to Hamilton, Fant at tight end, and a really, really talented defense with hopefully a healthy Von Miller returning, I think that could be a dangerous combination out there to contend with the Chiefs, because Matt Stafford is incredibly talented with the arm but hasn't ever put it all together in the right situation. And I'm sure John Elway would love to repeat what he did with Peyton Manning. Not that Matt Stafford is Peyton Manning level, but bring an established quarterback in to a very talented team and try to make a playoff run.
That's, look, I mean, the reality of it is that they have drafted a million guys and it just hasn't worked out. That was the one proven path of success for them so far. So I like it. All right, next up, Deshaun Watson. Where would you want to see him?
Yeah, I think he has to go to Miami. It seems like the obvious, easy answer, because his problem in Houston was that defense continually let him down. Miami has a fantastic defense, and most importantly, Miami has all the draft capital to be able to send to Houston without debilitating their team. To get a young quarterback like Deshaun Watson in his prime, you're going to have to give up multiple first-round picks, and I'm not sure that Deshaun wants to go somewhere that he is also kind of crippling by sending that draft elsewhere. He can go to Miami, and Miami can still be in great shape to keep bringing in talent to surround him with. And I think, who doesn't want to be in Miami every now and then? That would be perfect for Deshaun Watson. He's a Miami-type star, I feel like.
Yes. And of course, if by Miami you mean the Jets, then I totally agree. all right, one more. Matt Ryan, where do you want to see him next year?
Yeah, this is mostly built on narrative, but I want to go to San Francisco. They got unfinished business. Him and Kyle Shanahan have unfinished business. They were up in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady. He got Matt Ryan to play MVP-level football. So I would really love to see those guys reunited out west this time and make another run for it. It's obviously an easy and obvious connection. They have a talented group of receivers, a running game that it feels like can't be stopped no matter what you do with it, and a defense that can be dominant at times, despite the fact that they're losing their coordinator, Robert Saleh, is going to your beloved Jets to take over there.
No, I'm with you. And yesterday, Mel Kiper, in his first mock draft, actually has the Falcons at 4 taking a quarterback. And not that that means they're going to, but certainly that would open the door to Matt Ryan's departure. That's Answer the Question with Dominique Foxworth. Outstanding. Meanwhile, let's talk about the Super Bowl. So we're going to do some story time here with our own Ryan Clark, because he was on the field for one of the most famous plays in Super Bowl history. It was James Harrison's 100-yard interception return for a touchdown in Super Bowl 43 against the Cardinals. It was on the final snap of the first half. This was a play where if he had not scored, the clock would have run out. So he was either going to get to the end zone or there were going to be no points scored. And Ryan Clark, I am told there is an outstanding story that goes along with this. Please tell us all about it. I don't hear Ryan. Should I assume that everyone doesn't? Hold on, RC. Your microphone seems not to be on. Cindy,
can y'all hear me now?
There we go.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, RC.
Bam.
First day.
Fixing technology. Okay, so we're back at it. And so we get down to the Super Bowl, right? We're number one defense in the league. And so Dom knows this. The scout team throws a lot of interceptions because you know exactly what the play is. So you pick the football off, you throw it in the air, or you pick the football off and you punt it. And that's how we were doing practice. So Mike Tomlin comes in the next day, and he's like, look, guys, we got to transition on some of these interceptions. We was like, all right, coach, bet. So then we go in and talk to Coach LeBeau. Coach LeBeau is clicking out. This is a man that never screams at us, never cusses at us. He's showing every interception that we got that day and why we didn't transition or how we didn't transition. And he says, look, if you catch the ball, you're a running back. If you're on defense and you're on the field, you become a blocker. And so for the rest of that week, he showed every pick in practice, every turnover in practice, and said, this is going to change the game. This is how we're going to win the game. And I know you've seen the replay, but let me give you a little telestration of how it really went. And this is not going to be a Dan Orlovsky telepraise. Oh, Debo, you got a blitz. Nah, I ain't blitzing. I'm finna drop in this lane and get this ball because I know Kurt Warner going to Anquan. Uh-oh, turn it up the field. Let's Shea Townsend trying to take the ball here, and then we start giving out blocks like Oprah. You get a pancake. Boom, the Shea Townsend is going to turn around. He's going to catch two. He got two. Now we're going to turn back, start picking them off. Okay, Brent Keisel, you go get you one. Okay, Lawrence Timmons, you get you one. Okay, Woodley, you get you won. And then by the end, we even got some help from Antrell Rowe. And so at this point, I'm running. I already got me a block. So I'm finna get back up the field. Now, I'm not finna run 100 yards and not hit somebody. I know you're diving at his feet, lineman, but I'm gonna jump over your head. Oh, I even got Larry Fitzgerald to run around a little bit. Touchdown. Debo was faking like he was hurt. I stood over him. I said, hey, Debo. He said, what up, RC? I said, you hurt? He said, no, I'm just tired. I said, you know the halftime, like 45 minutes. He said, so? I don't care. We just scored. Bam. And that's how it happened.
Oh, that's a tour de force. But there's actually, that is a great story that basically Dick LeBeau was yelling at you guys that you weren't blocking on the interception returns. And you just showed there that was outstanding, genuinely outstanding blocking the entire way.
yeah, you know what? It was just one of those things. It kind of worked out. And Coach LeBeau, we actually had a Zoom call with him for Christmas, and he recited the night before Christmas as the same way he would do during the season. Then we talked for like 45 minutes after about different things. And this was one of the stories that came up. We have a picture that week. We're all sitting together. We have our hands in the air. We're drinking Gatorade. Like, that was a family. But the biggest part of that family was our father, was our grandfather, Coach LeBeau. And when he made that statement during the week, it clicked for us. And he showed us every day, that Thursday, that Friday, that Saturday, about transitioning. We finally started transitioning, and it's one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history.
Dominique, how great is that?
Oh, man, I love it. It was beautiful. I ain't see Troy getting no blocks out there, though. Where was he at? He ain't picked nobody off?
The only person that didn't get one. He was the only person. He was like, RC, I was on the other side, though. I was too far. And so that's what it was.
That's good.
The Ravens, like with the Ravens in practice, we would practice pitching the ball. People wasn't blocking. Anytime I got an interception, Ray was running to me with his hands up like this. Like, hit somebody. You 260. Hit somebody.
Think about the importance of that play. It's a game that is decided by one score at the very end of the game. Yep. And again, the clock is at zero in the first half. If Harrison doesn't make it to the end zone, no points are going to be scored. That is, what can you say? That is just outstanding. We will keep doing these because all of you guys, you played in all these legendary games, and that is a legendary play. Okay, we'll take a short break. As we continue, Aaron Rodgers, he's under contract for 3 more years. But what will it really cost the Packers to bring the MVP quarterback back? We have that answer and more as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.